Number present. Appreciate you making the effort in such inclement weather, but somebody said cheer up, it could get worse. And tomorrow I think it's supposed to, isn't it? So fella said he did cheer up and it did get worse. So we're glad to have you with us this evening. Our scripture reading, if I get this right. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Can you all see that? Can everybody hear me okay? Best part of the lesson is when you read the Word of God, isn't it? Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his own bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are this man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." Tonight we want to look at a lesson we've entitled, and you already know, The Morning After. After David did what he did with Bathsheba and then tried to cover it up, then came the prophet Nathan to him, and it took a little courage to come to the king. Nathan knew what he was going to tell the king, and probably knew the reaction the king would have to the story of the one little ewe lamb. But he could have stopped there after David's rant. "The man needs to die and pay fourfold for what he's done." Yes, he should. That's a good thing to happen. But David needed to hear the next words, didn't he? "David, you are the man." Have you ever been faced with an issue like that? Something that you did that was wrong and somebody found out and they came to you and exposed you? Maybe all of us can shake our head this way, can't we? And it is not a pleasant sight. And perhaps you've been in Nathan's shoes where you had to face somebody who has done wrong and you're the one that went to them. Not because of hatred, but because you love them. Not to knock them down, but to help them. When we do things that are wrong, there's going to be consequences. And that's what we're talking about in the title, The Morning After. The devil deceives us and closes our eyes to the consequences of sin. He will rather tell you, "Look what you're missing out on. The Lord doesn't let you have any fun at all. You people are so boring. The Lord just restricts you. Look at all the fun you could have if you just go with us." And you know, sometimes we'll say, "No, I can't." You know what we need to do when we're asked to do things that we shouldn't do? Give them a no that lets them know you mean no. I like that T-shirt that says, "What part of no don't you understand?" I told our daughter, she was a teenager in high school, and I said, if some boy doesn't understand what no means, I said, your sweet little hand has a fist. And I don't care if he is the quarterback or the jock of the school. Well, actually, he's the jerk of the school, isn't he? I said, you let him know with this right in the nose or the eye what you mean. He'll have to explain the black eye that this little 100-pound girl gave him a black eye. Or he'll lie about it. And I said, if you need to, you call me. You get out and you call me, because there will be consequences. And I got very, very right in her face about the consequences. And she said, I don't want to face those consequences. But the devil doesn't care about you, does he? He'll tell you you're missing out. Look at all the fun you can have. Or just this once. Or he'll use somebody to tell you, well, you can't be in our clique if you don't go there. Who do you think you are? Goody two-shoes, holier than thou? The boys at Caterpillar Tractor called me Reverend. And they kept asking me to go to the bar with them on Friday night. And they said, come on, go with us. We have a lot of fun. I said, we'll get you some hot chocolate. They thought that was going to tempt me to go with them. What are the consequences if you go with them? Is there anything good going to happen there? Shake your head this way. No. Oh, just one time. Okay, I'll give in. You just ask and ask, I'll go just this. Well, you went with us once. Are they going to give up? Okay, you went with us once, so that's all we're going to stop asking? Wrong answer. They're not going to quit, are they? The devil doesn't quit. And you may regret, you will regret going. And you won't forget going. Giving in to what you knew you shouldn't be doing. Well, Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 6, didn't he? Verses, 7 and 8? Be not deceived. You know why he said that? Because you can be. The devil can blind you to things that you know. Oh, why did I do that? I knew better. Did you ever say that? I knew better than to do that. You will reap what you sow. You sow tomatoes. If it ever gets warm this year, we might plant some tomatoes. What will you reap? Watermelon? If you get watermelon, it wasn't tomato seeds that you planted, was it? You plant tomato seed, you'll get tomatoes. You plant watermelon, you'll get watermelon. Which most of the time? No, all the time. You reap what you sow. And not only will you reap what you sow, you will reap more than you sow. You plant one tomato plant, you hope, I just get one tomato off of it? No, you're hoping to get a bushel, aren't you? If you're like me, I get greedy. Plant, you reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later. That's the consequences. Now, good has consequences too, doesn't it? You do good, you're going to reap what you've sown. It's not only bad, just like habits. Habits are good if they are good habits. And somebody said you take away the word, or take the word habit and take away off the H, and you still have a bit. Don't you? You take away the A and you still have the bit. And then you take away the B and you still have it. Good habits, like brushing your teeth, eating good, eating right, which I need to learn. Good habits. Well, spiritually, there are good habits. Because we reap what we sow, don't we? Sure you do. And we're going to reap at the end of time, when the Lord comes, exactly what we have sown in this life. We referred to Joshua in Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day. Every day we make choices, don't we? Every single day of our life. Because the devil says, I'm not going to give you a Friday off, does he? Every day, in every way, he's conceiving ways to find a chink in our armor. He knows that I can't be tempted with this issue. Okay, this doesn't bother me. I'm not going to be tempted. But He's going to find a way, isn't He? Isn't He? He never gives up. Never throws in the towel. Well, we're in an eat, drink, and be merry society, aren't we? Look at this world. Look at this nation. How filthy rich we are. We go to closets, walk-in closets, and say, I don't have anything to wear. What's on this side? I don't. Go to a refrigerator. Honey, there's nothing to eat in here. Move the... Really? Are we blessed or what? Sure we are. We need to take care of our spiritual matters, don't we? Way before our fleshly matters. The devil will get young ladies to risk pregnancy, won't they? Won't he? For popularity's sake. He'll tell them they've got to go to the prom and they've got to wear a dress that comes right here. When we lived in West Virginia, just a couple of miles north of our house, they had about a 40-foot wide billboard that had 7 or 9 girls on it, and none of their dresses came above here. Oh, but they're all the way to the floor. Well, what's a young man looking down at when he's embracing her? And I'm going to let my daughter go dress like that with some teenage boy? Ain't going to happen. Oh, but she won't be popular. Well, will she never graduate from high school? Is she going to be in high school for 40 years? No. Did high school go past for you? Uh-huh. I remember my first day. I said, I'll never get out of here alive. And now what seemed like the next day, somebody handed me a piece of paper and shook my hand and said, get on out of here. It goes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It sure does. So we've got to think about it. Why am I here? David, in our reading today, had his consequences, didn't he? And we got to know there's going to be a morning after. Here's some people that had some mornings after, didn't they? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Remember what Adam and Eve did, don't you? Remember what the devil did, don't you? Did the Lord say you couldn't eat of the... And Eve told him exactly what the Lord said in chapter 2. She quoted him exactly. The woman said, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She knew the rules. And you know what? You and I know the rules, don't we? And I say, Eve, shame on you. How could you know the rules and break them? What did the devil do? He added a word not, didn't he? It wasn't in there. That's all it takes. And the Lord had said, you can eat of all of the trees of this beautiful paradise, but one. What if we made the rule that you can't touch this? Nobody should ever, ever touch this lectern. Okay? What's going to be the temptation? Come clean the building someday? Wonder what will happen. Oh, I better not. Well, you get the closer you get, what are you going to more likely do? You're going to give in, aren't you? You remember Achan? Remember Uzzah, rather? And Ahiah? What does Uzzah do? Touched it. And it was falling over. And hello, what are you going to do? It's going to break. So the natural reaction, set it up. He shouldn't have been that close, should he? Should have been too far away to touch it. God's rules. God meant what He said, didn't He? And they understand the rules. Adam and Eve understood the rules. Look at verse 9. The Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" Where were they? Hiding, weren't they? You know, that's what we try to do when we sin. Cover it up. Hide it. Hide what we have done. And that, you ever been caught? A lot of people in jail today that thought, I'm smarter than these other criminals. I won't get caught. I can do this. I can commit this sin, and I won't get caught because I've seen on forensic files how what they did was wrong. Huh? So I'm smarter than they are, and here they are. They get to wear the gray suit with the orange stripe and the bracelets. Adam and Eve knew, but they had a morning after, didn't they? They sure did. God comes calling. What did Moses say in Numbers 32:23? "You be sure your sin will" what? "Find you out." Bingo. You may hide it for a while, but you won't hide it from God, even if you hide it from man for all of your life. You will not hide it from God. We talked about that this morning. The prophet Jeremiah in 23:24 said, "Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" Can I hide from God? You can't either. You want to trade places with Adam and Eve about that time when God comes calling? Huh? You know what I did when I was a little boy? Just one of the things. I threw a rock at my little neighbor, Greg Easter. He and I were good buddies, but we had a fight one day, and our road was gravel. And I said they used to film Rawhide, that TV show, on our road. It was rugged. Anyway, I got mad at Greg, and I threw a rock at him. You know what I hit? Not him, but his basement window. I couldn't have done it, but tried 100 times. Clear across the road. Mom and Dad were gone. Oh, they come in our 53 Pontiac and came in the house, and they said, "Who broke Greg's window? Basement window. Be sure your sin will..." I thought, how in the world I was going to get away? I wasn't going to tell. I knew if I lied, I'm going to be like Ananias and Sapphira. I'm going to die. I thought I would. You be sure your sin will find you. And that's the tomorrow, the morning after. And sometimes it doesn't wait that long, does it? Before the consequences start coming in. The grinding wheel will come. Sometimes it takes a while, but it will find you out. Jonah tried to hide from God, didn't he? How'd that work out for him? Didn't work. You can't hide from God. No, sir, you can't. Then secondly, Cain. What did he do? The language in the Bible tells us he butchered his brother with a knife. That's what our scholars tell us, David. Butchered his own brother. The Lord kind of warned him about that, didn't he? Then God comes calling in chapter 4. Beginning with about verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou angry, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." It's going to get you. You keep thinking about something, wanting to do something that you know you shouldn't do, what's going to happen to you? And he said, verse 10, "What hast thou done?" Well, let's go to verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, after he'd killed his brother, where is Abel thy brother? Cain lied, didn't he? I don't know. Yes, he did. That adds to his sin, didn't he? Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cometh unto me from the ground. You've been found out. This is Cain's mourning after. He'd been caught. Nothing escapes the sight of God. Then thirdly, we mentioned David there in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Did he have his mourning after? Yes. Yes, he did. When Nathan said, thou art the man. David sitting on his throne, I get the picture. And in his rule, and he hears the story about the little ewe lamb and the poor farmer. And his anger is raised. And then he's exposed. You want to trade places with David about then? Did he say, well, what do you mean? I'm the man. You're the one, as it were, that killed this poor man's ewe lamb. Now, verse 10 says, now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. Verse 12, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And you know who knows about it today? We do, don't we? What God said was so. You did it in secret, but everybody's going to know. Everybody. Know of a man that's lost his family over adultery. He committed adultery. And he said, every time you see somebody, you wonder, do they know? He said, you know what the answer is? Yes, they do. Do they know what I've done? Yes, they do. Do you know what David did? Yes, you do. Do you want to trade places with David? Yes, you can. Do you want the consequences? You've got to know. It's defensive living. We talk about defensive driving. We need defensive living. If you're thinking about what you're going to do when it happens, it's too late. It's too late. I've got to know in my mind, if this comes before me, it's not going to happen. If the devil tempts me this way, I'm not going there. I do not want the consequences that the devil gives me. Do you? Adam and Eve received them. They had their day in court. Cain got his day. And God came to David through the prophet Nathan. You think his day didn't change from then on? That baby died. He is his in Bathsheba's. David fasted and prayed. And made that famous statement after he died. I can go to him, but he cannot come to me. Pharaoh, in Exodus chapter 12, came after the ninth plague. What happened on the tenth plague? That boy was a slow learner, wasn't he? You study those plagues and what it did to the people. God said, I will harden his heart. You know how God hardened his heart? He asked Pharaoh to do something he didn't want to do. It wasn't that God said, Pharaoh, you don't have a chance in this. I've already hardened your heart, and whatever you think about it, you're not going to be able to do it. He didn't do that to Pharaoh. And just like today, people's hearts are hardened. When I've told them they need to repent and be baptized, one young lady told me, she said, I see that this was a Pentecostal preacher. He said, I see that baptism is a command, that it's necessary, and that I need to go to heaven. And there was one other that I've lost that he said, but was his next word. He saw all of that. It was commanded. It was necessary for salvation. But he's not going to do it. He'd have lost his pastoral duties if he started preaching the truth, wouldn't he? He saw which side his bread was buttered. And that's what a lot of people do. Pharaoh, he didn't want to lose all of these servants, though he was doing his best in killing them by making them work so hard. When the second Pharaoh, this Pharaoh came that didn't know Joseph. So he had his day after. When his son died, then he said, get out. Finally. Don't figure the folks thought too much of Mr. Pharaoh at the time. Remember we mentioned Achan in Joshua chapter 7? In chapter 6 and verse 18, when God said, when you go into Jericho, do not touch the spoils of the city. Wealthy city, there's gold, there's silver, there's clothing there. Don't touch them. The next city that they went to after taking Jericho without a loss of a soldier, 36 men died. If 36 men died in this area here, would that affect a lot of people? Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends. Oh, hundreds of people, maybe thousands would be affected. A few years ago, I think it was in Indianapolis, at an ice capades or something, some of the stands fell and several people were killed from one area in Greencastle where we lived. Several families were affected. 36 men died. There was sin in the camp. And God told Joshua to find out who it was. And he found out in chapter 7, didn't he? And let's read chapter 7 and verse 21 of the book of Joshua. When Joshua came to Achan, Joshua confesses. He said in verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Isn't that like us today? And isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Or what she did? When she saw the tree was good for food, she coveted, she took, and she hid. I remember watching old cowboy shows. And these cowboys would rob a bank or a stagecoach, and they'd go off into some shack out in Never Never Land, and they'd count the money. We're rich. We're rich. Were they really? They had to hide. And then later on in the detective shows, and they'd go in some offbeat hotel room, and we got to lay low. We can't spend any of this cash. But we're rich. And every time somebody knock on the door, they're grabbing for their pistols. Yeah, we're filthy. Really? See how the devil affects us? And he can do it to you. And you'll wish you hadn't, but it's too late, isn't it? All the alligator tears. There's no delete button, is there? Don't you wish you had a delete button sometimes that you could undo what you've done and nobody would know? he saw, he coveted, he took, he hid. A lot of sins begin right here with our eyes. John talks about men having eyes full of adultery. Once it goes in here, you can't unsee what you've seen, can you? Pornography, you cannot unsee what you've seen. I didn't see that. I did not see that. Can't erase it. It's there. Moving right along. And last of all, Judas. Judas. In Matthew chapter 27, you talk about a sad, sad ending. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Who had put Jesus there? Who had betrayed him? And how did he betray him? Replaying that in your mind? How could you do that to such an innocent man and then come and kiss him as the sign that that's the one you want to take? Perhaps Judas had seen Jesus escape from the crowds that wanted to kill him before and thought, well, if they try to get him, he'll just walk away. They won't touch him. For 30 pieces of silver. What would you do for 30 pieces of silver? Judas did it, didn't he? Verse 2, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. What'd they say? Big deal. So what? That doesn't mean anything to us. You've done what you did. We're not going to go in there and rescue him. You give us back the 30 pieces of silver. This is not a Walmart deal. You can bring it back if you don't like it. To add insult to injury, they had no compassion for him, no sympathy. Oh, poor Judas. He realized he made a mistake. What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. It's what a lot of people are doing in their lives today. They're not worthy, they think. What I've done in my life, I've had people tell me that God could not forgive me. Did he forgive you? Has he forgiven you? Yes. And isn't that great? We do have a delete button. When we repent, when I repent, when you repent, God, I don't have to. Did you really forgive me of that, God? I asked you to, did you? Don't have to worry about that. You may ask me to forgive you for something you did, and we bury the hatchet but leave the handle sticking out in case I need to grab it again. You see these cases here? Did they have a morning after? There are others. But I think you've gotten the point. You've gotten the point. We could look at those who had good days. In the New Testament, Old Testament tells us about those who had good days after. They reaped what they had sown. All the prophets. Look at Joseph. Look at sweet, sweet Joseph. Wow, what a man. And on we could go with Ruth and Esther and Sarah and Mary. Folks, we're not going to live here forever, are we? Let's be ready to die. Let's not have a morning after that we cannot undo, okay? That we will receive the consequences for the rest of our lives. Let's be ready to meet the Lord. In the Old Testament, there's a passage that says, "Prepare, O Israel, to meet thy God." God was telling them that your neck is in the guillotine and the blade is on its way down. I've put up with you as long as I can, and you are history. That's what that phrase means. We see it on highway signs, on billboards, "Prepare to meet thy God." Well, we have the time. Our neck is not in the guillotine. But it will be. When my heart stops beating, if I've not lived as I should, the wrath of God will be upon me. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Let's be ready to be welcomed into heaven with the Lord and with the saved of all ages by preparing our lives. If you're on that road, stay on it. If you've fallen away from it, get back into it. And there are sins that you and I commit that I don't need to come forward, that I can just pray to God right there in your pew, "God, forgive me of that heinous sin against you. I don't want a morning after like these men and women. I want a morning after that is a glorious one, that I can pillow my head in peace every night." If you need to respond, make it now. Andy Wilder, stand while we sing.